Ephesians chapter number 3. We do want to say hi to those listening on the internet, both on Ustream and PalTalk, and especially to Stan and Ann. I guess they're both pretty sick this morning. So I think they're online, right, Jim? Yeah, so Steve and Ann, yes. Yeah, they're pretty sick this morning. So we always, they're always here early helping set up and everything. And so when they weren't here this morning, I think, okay, man, they must have come down with something. So keep them in your prayers. I know they appreciate that. Let's see. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3. We're continuing to look at the details of this prayer here. There's so much here. I'm telling you, there's so much just on this prayer. That's why we're kind of slowly going through it. We're not going to be in a hurry through it. But we're picking up really at the last part of verse 17. But watch verse 17, which is where we got to last time. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you that we can spend some time again this morning looking into your word. We're grateful that we have your word that gives us your insight and wisdom. It tells us how you think about things. It tells us how you work and how your word works in us. We pray that as we study this morning, as we think especially about being rooted and grounded in your love, that would be a reality in our lives, and that we would allow your word to bring forth the fruit, the crop that you seek to produce in these bodies of clay. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. How many of y'all like to garden? Like to garden? Anybody here say you like to garden? I mean, almost every hand went up, right? I got a question for you. When you garden, whether it's tomato plants or squash or whatever, maybe not squash because squash goes anywhere, but when you garden, does it matter what the nature of the soil that you use? Yes. It does, right? Why does it matter?
Good, fertile soil produces abundance.
Okay, say that real loud.
Good, fertile soil.
say it real loud. Come on now. Good, fertile soil produces abundance because it's full of nutrients. Denise, go ahead. And quality. Not just abundance, but because you can have a lot of yucky-tasting fruit, right? But you can have a lot of really sweet, good-tasting crops. So the nature of the soil makes a huge difference as to the fruit, the crop that you harvest, does it not? What's that? You have to water it too, don't you? Because if you don't water it, you can still have great soil, but it's just not going to, it's just going to wither and die. Go ahead, Beth. Okay. So what do you have to do? You have to amend the soil to get, yeah. Yeah, so a lot of soils, like you mentioned in San Clemente, it's clay, so the roots, they have trouble penetrating, they have trouble getting to the nutrients, water can't get through it, so you have to amend the soil. Bottom line is this, whatever you put the roots in, the nature and quality of the soil that the roots are in is absolutely going to determine the type of produce you harvest. Would you agree? Look at that verse. Verse 17, the second phrase in the verse, because last week we talked about the first phrase, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We'll come back to that momentarily. But look at the second phrase, that ye being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
In love. See that? By the way, Sue, you mentioned in him. Hold that verse, go to Colossians, look how it says it over here. Look over to Colossians 2, verse 7. You want to write these verses down together. You want one referencing the other. Look at Colossians 2:7 says this. It says, rooted and built up where? Now say it, Sue. What was it? In him. But go back to Ephesians. Rooted and grounded what? That's interesting. One says rooted and grounded in love. The other says rooted and built up in him. You suppose there might be a connection? Isn't that something? Because if you are rooted and grounded in him, you are going to be rooted and grounded in love. And if you are rooted and grounded in love, you are going to be rooted and grounded in him. It's the same thing. The type of soil that which you place the roots of your heart, the roots of your life in, are going to make a big difference as to the quantity and the quality of the fruit that you're producing. So we want to talk this morning extensively about the idea of being rooted and grounded in love, which is the same thing, equal to, for all practical purposes, of being rooted and built up in Him. Okay? Before we do that, go back to Ephesians 3 there, and verse 17, because it's a real key part of the verse that because we were out of time last time, we just really didn't get emphasized it. I appreciate the feedback that different individuals give about verses to kind of clarify something. And I was talking to one of the brothers this morning as we were setting up, and made a real good point about this verse. Verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And remember, we talked about that last time, right? Give lots of room in your heart to Christ. Let Him have access to every room in your heart. Right? That concept there? But Jim was mentioning that, you know, an important part of that verse is the next two words. What's it say there? And hence, if it says by faith, who decides? See, it's a choice of your will. The will is where the battle is, right? Yes, no? Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, I was thinking, was it just me fighting this battle? No, it's not just me, okay? The will is where the battle is. The choice. Because on the one hand, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, but we understand, and that's the heart of the new man. Because the heart of the old man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Hence the battle. So when it says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, it's a matter of the will. It takes a choice. It takes a thinking process. And it's interesting that the next thing he says is rooted and grounded in love. Because again, it involves the will. So those of you who like gardening, and I think every hand went up here, okay? So imagine you take one plant and you put its roots, you dig a big hole into some really good fertile soil and you water it, it's got good nutrients and so forth. But then you took another plant and you put it in some not so good soil. So both same plant type thing, and you water both, which one obviously is going to produce the better fruit, the better crop? It's going to be the one that's got the better soil. Why? What's the purpose of the roots of a plant? What's that? Okay, feed. The roots are the system. Isn't it? It's a miraculous system, by the way, that God created that takes nutrients from the soil and transfer it from the soil into the cells of that plant, and hence ultimately into the leaves and then the fruits. That's miraculous. It takes minerals, nutrients from dirt, puts it into the plant. Supernaturally. By creation, what I mean. See that? So the purpose of the roots is to take that and get the nutrients from the soil into the plant so that the nature and the quality of what's in the soil is now can be transferred into the plant and hence ultimately into the fruit, right? What's another purpose of the roots? Stability. What'd you say? Stability, right? Good. What'd you say? Connection to the source. Key. See that? Connection to the source. Strength. You guys ever tried to pull it? You know, it's funny because you plant a nice big plant that you just bought at Home Depot or whatever and everything. It takes nothing to pull that out of the ground, right? But you try to go pull weeds out, man, you got to get the tow truck, you know, and everything, try to pull those weeds out because of the roots. You understand, roots, they grab on, they hold, they're strong. So the roots provide stability. Think about what that verse says. Rooted and grounded in what kind of soil? That verse says love. And the one in Colossians says in Him. The kind of soil that we want to allow the roots of our inner man to be planted in and to allow those roots to grow down deep and long and firm and spread out is love, is Christ. Rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in Him. Because if we're rooted and grounded in love, then love is going to be that which the roots draw up into themselves and into the cells of the plant and into your inner man. If you're rooted and grounded in Him, in Christ, then the riches of who Christ is what the roots are going to draw up and suck up. But as you nurture it in water, it's going to be drawn up into your inner man. And then, therefore, what is going to be, what kind of fruit is going to be produced? The fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, all those wonderful tasting. So an abundant crop that tastes wonderful. See that? Rooted and grounded in love. But what does that actually mean? What does it mean, rooted and grounded in love? We tend to think of love, just because of the way the secular world uses it, we tend to think of it in such a shallow, meaningless, empty way. But in Scripture, when the Bible says things like rooted and grounded in love, what does that mean? By the way, in this context as well, notice he's going to go on to say, look at verse 19. Verse 19, it says, and to know what? The love of Christ. So is the love in verse 17 the same as the love of Christ in verse 19? Interesting, isn't it? They have to be connected, do they not? To be rooted and grounded in love is to be rooted and grounded in what? God's love. The love of Christ. What does that mean? Okay, say it loud. Say it loud. Okay. Good. Good. What else? To be rooted and grounded in love, in His love for you, and the love of Christ constraineth us. Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. For God so loved the world that He gave. You see how often when it talks about God and love, it's love and gave, love and given, given freely. So what's another word that's consistently linked together with God's love? Freely, given, given freely. I know I saw another hand up. Did someone have? Okay. So think about this. To be rooted, if you're rooted and grounded in God's kind of love, if His kind of love is a love that gives and gives freely, then to be rooted and grounded in love means you're rooted and grounded in the same thing that motivates God. What motivates God? Love. Christ. And hence, if you're rooted and grounded in what motivates God, you are rooted and grounded in the very nature and principle of grace. Grace is given. Given freely. Look at this verse in Galatians chapter number 1, if you would. Galatians chapter number 1. You know what? I want chapter, chapter 2. Chapter 2, 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. Everyone knows this verse. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and what? Gave. See how love and gave, love and give are connected. The kind of love, the only kind of love that God is and has and manifests is a love that gives. To be rooted and grounded in love is, therefore, to be rooted and grounded in grace motivation. To be rooted and built up in Christ is to be rooted and built up in the person that God gave. God gave Christ. What am I connecting? What am I trying to connect? Love and what? Give. Love and grace. Love and grace. That's what I'm connecting. To be rooted and grounded in love is to be rooted and grounded in being motivated by grace. Now I got a question for you. Is that difficult? Why is that difficult? What do we tend to be motivated by? By self. Performance. And so the tendency is the giving that we do really has an ulterior motive, which is what? Something self. Okay? But when it says God loved and He gave, Christ loved me and gave Himself more, to be motivated by grace, to have the roots of your life just buried deep in the capacity and ability of God's love to motivate us. That, therefore, would mean that service in our life... Anybody here interested in service? God's interested in us serving, right? But that would mean that service in our life should be and can be motivated by what? By God's love. Not by ourselves. Yeah. Now, where does this manifest itself? Every place. How about every place? Yes. One of the great debates that exists in Christianity, and especially among, one of the great debates that exists in Christianity is the debate about the place of good works and the source of good works and whether or not you're supposed to keep doing good works. Is God interested in us as believers doing good works? Is God interested in us as believers having fruit produced in our life? Good works are the fruit. Fruit is good works. It's good fruit if it's good works. Right? So is God interested in us as believers having good works? Yeah, look, are you in Ephesians there? If you go back to Ephesians 2, look back at Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10 says this. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, is God interested in good works? So should we be interested in good works? By the way, this might seem like a little side note, but it really isn't. It's very important. What are some examples of good works? Sharing the gospel is a big one. What else? Caring for others is a big one. Good. What else? What are some other examples of good works? What's that? Yeah, like she said, sharing the gospel. Good. What else? How about loving one another? How about husbands love your wives? How about wives submit yourselves to your own husbands and so forth? How about children obey your parents in the Lord? Yeah. Are those all examples of good works? You know? What are some other examples of good works? Go ahead. Extending grace. I love what the Apostle Paul says about elders, and he says, given to hospitality. What word do you see in the word hospitality? The first word. Hospital. People are hurting, and they need help. And if anyone should be given to hospitality, it's those who have their roots dug deep into God's capacity to love and show love and give. See that there? What are some other examples of good works? Teaching others the Word of God is a wonderful example of good works. And what did someone say? Helping others. Good. How about praying for one another? All those things. Those are all absolute real-life examples of good works. Now, can we do those things and those things be, in certain circumstances, the product of our flesh doing it? Yes. Easily, okay? So how do we decide then? What do you do? How do you make sure that the good works that Scripture does say that God is interested in us doing, how do we make sure that it is not the result of some self-serving motive, but it's the fruit of the roots of my life being placed in the soil of God's love? Rich, go ahead. It is related to this prayer. Yes. Yes. Go ahead, Berta. Don't do it. Exactly. Don't do it for show. Through the inner man. Yes, Beth and Indonesia.
I have found that until I understood who I was in Christ, I tended to do things for
huge. That is huge right there.
Yes.
Yes. What you said is so vital. Until we understand who God has made us to be in Christ. See, it doesn't say rooted and built up in yourself. It says rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and grounded in love. Not in yourself, but in love and who He is and who God is. Until we believe God's Word. That's why that phrase, Jim, that you talked about earlier, by faith, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, by trusting that it is so, by belief. It's the choice of the will. It's a decision of the will. I'm going to trust God's Word. As we believe what God's Word says as far as who He has made us to be in Christ, we believe that, we trust it, we begin to rest on it more and more and more each and every day, then we are brought to the place where when an opportunity to do good works presents itself, and they do all the time, by the way, right? You do it naturally. Meaning, not of the flesh, not of the nature of the flesh, but as a byproduct of an appreciation of who you are in Christ. We serve God not because we have to, but because His love constrains us. See that there? We serve Him not because you're forced to in the sense of you better or else, but in the sense of the love of Christ constrains me. Henry, go ahead. Yes, yes.
If you understand that you have to start at the cross, and then the good works will naturally follow.
Yep, exactly right.
Some
yep.
people today are having difficulty because they are trying to put the heart, which is good works, before that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and like I say, it's a gigantic debate in Christianity, not just the fact that there should be good works, but what's the source of those good works? Let me give you an illustration. Everybody wants to talk today, which is good. This is you guys, and my throat really hurts really bad today, so this is actually helping me. They all have a lot to say, okay? Let me give you an illustration of the idea, trying to demonstrate that, because sometimes it's hard to see the real source of the good works. Let me use an illustration. How many, we have a lot of ladies here that are mothers or grandmothers. Now think about when you had that child, you're raising that child. Think about the difference if you woke up every day raising that child thinking, man, I got to be a good parent. I got to be a good parent. I better be a good parent today. I got to be a good parent because others are watching. Oh, I got to be a good parent because if I'm not, then I'm going to be condemned myself. I got to be a good parent because God wants me a good parent. I got to be a good parent because my husband, I got to be a good parent because I got to be a good example. I got to be a good parent. Okay, if you live every day like that, you're focusing on the wrong thing. And you might be doing the things that are good, but it's because you got to be a good parent. On the other hand, is there a different reason to, quote, unquote, be a good parent? What is it? Because, what, Joe? And this is a dad that said this, right? A great dad. Because the love motivates you. You're motivated not by, I got to be a good parent. I got to do good works. I got to maintain good works. You're motivated by something totally different, something more powerful than the I gotta. The more powerful is love. Go ahead, Joe, you want to say something? It is that. Exactly right. Oh, man, to get that verse. Joe, and that's the verse you were asking about this morning, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 there real quick. Beth, I see your hand. We just have a lot to go. Watch this. Look over to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Does the Apostle Paul have a lot to say about good works? Yes. He has a lot to say about good works. But it's so vital that we understand that when he does talk about those good works, he always talks about them in relationship to the proper source of those good works. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If I, as a parent, I'm always worried about, I got to be a good dad, I got to be a good father. I got to be a good husband because someone's watching. They're watching. God's good. If I'm focusing on the wrong thing. Instead, if we just... Can I use Evie as an illustration again? I'm going to anyway. So. I mean, she is just precious. Can y'all disagree with that? Don't you dare. Don't you dare. You know. But she just is. But I'm telling you, you look at Josh and Anne-Marie. They're not here, so I can pick on them this morning. They are just bowled over in this love with this little precious girl. And they're not living their life. So I got to be a good dad. I got to be a good mother because I got to be a good dad. That's not it. There's a precious little dependent life behind those blue eyes. Just dependent on that. And your parents that are here, you know what I'm talking about. So think about that in your relationship with your children. The roots are very deep in love. You want to be that good parent, not because you're making that the goal and the target. Rather, it's out of love. And so too, when it comes to serving God, when it comes to good works, we want the roots to be buried deep in the soil of God's love, hence motivation by grace. The nutrients that are coming up into the cells of the plant are the grace of God, His capacity and willingness to give. Give unconditionally, give freely. And hence service is to be on that basis. Look at Galatians here, Galatians 3. Look at Galatians chapter number... Look at Galatians 5. Look at Galatians 5, 6. Galatians 5, verse 6. It says this. Galatians 5, 6 says this. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Now, the word availeth, what's that mean? Does you any good, it's of value. Okay, see that? So in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, they don't do you any good, any kind, to any degree at all. Well, what is circumcision or uncircumcision? What is it? It's just the flesh. It's cut off the flesh. It's something. See, that's not going to do you any good. That means that the source of service is not circumcision. It's not the law. It's not performance. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but the sense being, well, then what does avail? What is of value? What does matter? Look at this. But faith. What was that faith? Faith is believing God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is believing what God says. It's a decision of the will. So he says this is what matters. This is what avails in Christ. It is faith which does what? So it does work. But it works by what system of motivation? By love. There's the system of motivation. If we make good works the motivation, it's the wrong system. It's the wrong soil to be rooted and grounded in. If we make love the motivation, that's the right soil to have the roots of your life rooted, dug down deep, and grounded in. See that there? Faith which worketh by love. Faith does work. But the emphasis isn't on work. It's on love. If we make the emphasis on work, good works. You got to do good works. You got to serve. We're focusing on the wrong thing. Faith, which worketh by love. Stay in that same chapter. I tell you what. Watch how he does this here. Look at verse 6 again. He says, For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. You guys were making great progress. Ye did run well, he says. He says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You guys were making great progress, and someone came along and hindered you that you should not obey the truth. What's that mean? Obey the truth. Obey, what's that mean? Go back. Yes, exactly right, by the way, Tom. You're right. Okay. Watch this. Go back to chapter 3. Watch this. Go back to chapter 3. That phrase, obey the truth, appears right here again. Look at chapter 3. Watch this. He says, 3 verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not, now there's the phrase, obey the truth. See the phrase there? He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Okay, question. When he says, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What does that mean? That's true, but when he says that you should not obey the truth, what truth is it that they were now disobeying, and how were they disobeying that? What truth? Grace. The truth of God's grace. The truth of the finished work of Christ. When he says, look at that verse. It says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Jesus Christ, was Christ physically crucified among the Galatians? Galatians, they lived hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. Paul goes out to the Galatian territory and he preaches the gospel of Christ with such clarity that it is as so they saw it with the eyes of their understanding. They saw with the eyes of their understanding why Christ died. Christ died for their sins. It was a completed, perfect work on their behalf. And they had total, complete forgiveness of sins by His finished work on the cross. They saw it. They got saved. They were justified. They were forgiven. They were sealed. They were blessed. Just by faith. See that? So then, to disobey that, because they were not obeying the truth, so that means they must have been disobeying it, what were they doing? Which was saying? It was saying the work of Christ isn't enough. You know how you disobey grace? You go live under the law. You know how you disobey the truth? You say the truth is not enough. You know how you disobey what God is doing today? The way you disobey Him is you go back to a performance-based system, both of acceptance and service. And that's where the great debate is about. Not just the acceptance, but the service part. The crosswork of Christ is enough to save us and keep us saved. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us. So we're back to the issue of rooted and grounded in what? Love. Rooted and grounded in His grace, His capacity. Rooted and grounded in being motivated by grace. See that there? So you go back to Galatians chapter number 5 there. He says, guys, he says, verse 7, Galatians 5, 7, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The legalistic system that was emphasizing works. They were emphasizing service, but they were appealing to the wrong source to produce those good works. And it was causing the Galatians to disobey the truth. Jump a little bit further ahead, if you would. Look at verse 13. Galatians 5, 13, he says this, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? By love, serve one another. So once again, what is the basis of service to be on? And we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in what? In love. If we're rooted and grounded in love, we will be rooted and grounded in Christ. We'll see that the basis of service, the basis of good works, the basis of fruit, is grace motivation. If we focus on good works, what are we going to be focusing on? Self, the wrong thing. If we focus on the love of Christ, then the roots will be dug deep down into God's love. And the nutrients of God's love is what's going to come up into your inner man. Opportunities are there every day for good works. If we use our flesh to do good works, then technically they're not good works, are they? So instead, let's rest in the love of Christ. Go ahead, Ken. To do what now? Okay, I'll take your word for it. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. And it draws up the ink. It draws up the. It, yes. 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 You are what you absorb. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. On display. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Okay. All right. Go with me if you would. I know we're going to be out of time here pretty quickly, but go to Titus chapter 3. Watch this. Ken always comes up with some good ones every once in a while, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Look at this. What school? What Sue says? What school did you go to? Right. Homeschool, he says. Yeah. Watch this. Look over to Titus chapter number. Look at Titus chapter number 2. Verse 14, Titus 2:14 says this, who gave, there's the giving part again, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Okay, so should we be zealous of good works? He mentions good works right there, does he not? Okay, now go to chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8 says this. This is a faithful saying. 3:8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Okay, so should we be careful to maintain good works? So both verses talked about good works, right? But watch the pattern now. Go back to chapter 3. Watch this now. I'm going to start at verse 4. Titus 3:4. He says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I got a question for you. From verse 4 down to verse 7, who is it that the emphasis is on in those verses? His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His kindness, His love. It's Him. It's what He's done. He's the giver, and Christ is the gift. See that? Now, it's not until the Apostle Paul repeats all that then he says at verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm. What's the next word there? What does that word mean? Okay, question. If it says to affirm constantly, that means my responsibility as a preacher here at the church, here, I need to be talking to you about these things about once every 2 years or so, right? Okay, once a year, right? Listen. To affirm constantly means to do just that. To constantly affirm that it was after it was the kindness and love of God our Savior. It was not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's His mercy. It's His washing of regeneration. It's the renewing of the Holy Ghost which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope. I need to talk about these things constantly. How often do we need to be affirming these things to ourselves? Constantly. Now, how often does that mean? All the time. All the time. All the time. Look at verse 8 again. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Why does he mention the idea of being careful to maintain good works after that whole list of all that God has done for us? Why does he do it that way? What's that? That's true too, but what's the significance of the sequence? Why didn't he put the good works, the reference to good works, why didn't he put it at the start of the list? You can't do it. Why else? We have to remember the source The emphasis isn't the good works. The emphasis is the kindness and love of God our Savior, not by works of righteousness. His mercy, His regeneration, He shed on abundance abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. His grace, heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see the issue here? If we're rooted and grounded in love, you're rooted and grounded in Him. The roots of your life are buried deep down. They're just growing deep into the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness we have done. His mercy, His washing, His regeneration, He shed on us through His grace, through Jesus Christ. But see what's happening here? The deeper those roots are grounded in God's love, who He is, what He's done for us, that's what will produce in us that being careful, that full of care for good works. God is interested in good works. He's interested in service. He's interested in the fruit that is produced in our life. But in order for it to be precious fruit to God, in order for it to be the fruits of the Spirit, in order for it to be good works, it has to be the result of the nutrients of the love of God coming up into the very cells of that plant that's planted into the love of God. See what I'm, does that make sense what I'm saying here? See that? May it be so for us. The Apostle Paul is praying there that we'd be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. How? By faith, by a choice of the will, that we being rooted and grounded in grace motivation, being rooted, having those roots sunk deep down into God's capacity to motivate us by what motivates Him. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. See that? Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful for the time we could spend this morning allowing Your Word to remind us about these things and to really tell us again that we need to constantly affirm these things, not just to ourselves collectively here as a group this morning, but ourselves individually in our daily lives. And we pray to that end, and that by allowing ourselves to be reminded of these things, that we would indeed be careful to maintain good works and to be careful as to the source that we rely upon for those good works to be produced. Well, thank You for this in Christ's name. Amen.